Hello and welcome to a new season of the Albion Roar with me, Aidy Packham, with him, Alan Wares, and brought to you by the medium of Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, and of course on our podcast. Alan and I are delighted to be massaging your earlobes once more, thanks to the brilliant assistance of Phil Shelley at oldfootballshirts.com. So then, with a week to go before the big kickoff, today we will preview the new season. We'll look at the runners and riders, cast an eye over our new signings, and make our season predictions that will no doubt be wider of the mark than Adam Virgo's shot. We will also remember our friend and a true Albion hero, Ed Basford, who passed away this week. So, joining me today are two Albion Raw legends. In the shape of a man who definitely knows the way to San Jose, it's Marcus Hancox.
Hello, how are you?
And a man who is replacing the terror of facing Aguero and Jesus with napalm death. It's Andy Bass.
Afternoon.
Us who don't necessarily understand everything there is to know about music, don't get that reference, please tell me, because you know I'm old and smelly, but...
Napalm aren't playing.
They are playing on Saturday afternoon.
No, they're not.
Are they pulled out?
No, they're not. They played last year. They're not doing it.
So you mean the research I did that was when I was looking at the...
It was all about the, 2016,
the
yeah.
Blood I could have pulled up Death Angel and Opeth.
You were looking at last year's lineup. for Bloodstock.
Oh, blimey.
Welcome to a new season of the Albion Roar.
Welcome to the championship season.
Yes. Ahead of it. Where we hope to get over the disappointment of the end of last season, losing to Sheffield Wednesday over two legs.
I will be seeking out Wi-Fi whilst Hatebreed are on the main stage at Bloodstock on Saturday.
Good evening, AD. How are you?
I'm very well. It's very hot in here.
It is. It is. I do have to set the scene here. This is podcast only. We'd normally be on Radio Reverb, but we're not this time for this show because we're giving up our space for pride, and we're pleased to do so. We are in the Coastway studio here in Kemp Town. It's a very hot afternoon. The sun is coming straight through the window. It's like a greenhouse in here. We're all suited and booted. Well, some of us have been suited and booted, and all of us are going to come out a lot smellier than we went in. Yeah. But we'll hopefully not let that sweat come through your radio ears too much. But no. Here we go with another season of the Albion Raw. And thank you for listening in.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, welcome back to Marcus and to Andy. We've all spent the afternoon saying goodbye to our friend Ed Basford, but more about that later on. But the new season is about to get underway. The championship season kicks off tonight. It's Friday
so
night.
So what?
But we're not in that league anymore, so we're not going to talk about that. But how is your new season mojo, Andy?
It's pretty good, actually. I've really enjoyed this summer because there's been, other than like the women's European championships, there's been no major football tournament to get distracted by this summer. So I've actually taken the whole summer off football. I've not even paid attention to the transfer rumours, non-rumours, because we all know the Albion never really buy anybody until the last possible minute, so we're going to be wasting hot air over that for the next couple of weeks anyway. So, but now we're approaching, you know, the actual opening game, I'm really up for it now. I'm feeling pretty good. I do like the players we've brought in. It's going to be a hard season, but we all knew that at the beginning. But I am excited about it, and I am missing the first game, and I'm gutted about it. But I'm very excited about this season now.
Now, Marcus, normally when we go into a new season, it's normally full of anticipation and hope about appearing at the top of the league table. It's going to be a very, very different season, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a tough season. Thankfully, we are old school Albion, so we're used to seeing them lose week in, week out, and by some heavy defeats as well. Some of the newer fans, and they are welcome, have got used to seeing a winning team in the last two seasons. Let's hope that they carry on turning up at Albion when Christmas is. But I'm excited for the new season. Certainly, it's a new division, it's a new league. It means more new away games. Brilliant. Bring it on.
Sometimes cheaper away games as well.
Well, it's only £30, unlike paying £42 for Ipswich and whatever it was
Leeds
and
Sheffield Wednesday
teams like that.
Has it actually sunk in for you that we're in the Premier League now?
Yes, because you're part of the whole Sky circus and BT circus, and so Premier League is being rammed down your throats every week on TV adverts and stuff like that, and all the upcoming fixtures, and the fact that we've had the announcements from the club about fixtures have already been moved for TV and et cetera, et cetera. So, oh, it's certainly sunk in. I mean, we're now part of the...
I've been speaking to a few people today and over the course of the last month or so, and they said the thing that's going to really ram it home for them is when they see us a match of the day.
I suppose there's that as well. I think the thing that's going to ram it home for me is when I see us get tonked 6-0, because that hasn't happened for a while. It is going to be different. Yeah, I mean, I can't help feeling that, yes, we're getting all the Premier League sort of notices. Listen, you and I are as well. We've been approached by various, you know, news outlets through the summer to sort of like, oh, you're the radio voice of Brighton and Hove Albion fans. Tell us about what you think about this, this and this. But I can't help feeling that when it comes to what Marcus was talking about with Sky and they're throwing everything out and the worldwide thing, that we're actually just the fat kid left in the end of the line when the teams are all picked. And, you know, that's Brighton and Hove Albion in the Premier League this season. We're just sort of like these little sort of pat.
I don't think we're there to make up the numbers, though.
No, I don't think we are. But there's going to be an awful lot of people who only appreciate that football started in 1992. Yeah. We're still reading these various people saying this is Brighton's first time in the top division. I think those people need to have their ears cut off just on principle, because obviously their lord and master didn't need to have them made for them. And a sense of history and perspective wouldn't hurt them. All right, it's been 30 odd years, and anyone under the age of 35 is not going to remember Albion in the top division. But the point is, we are. AD, you get the beers in, mate.
And no disappearing to the toilet.
And
no slamming the first beer down either.
Okay, so I mean, we've got some new players that have come in. Andy, you've already alluded to the fact that you're quite pleased with the signings so far. I think there are going to be more to come. But so far, let's talk about what we have got. And the first one to come in was Pascal Gross.
Well, he's the player that I'm most excited about, because the position he plays is key to how well... For me, I think he's going to be one of the key players of the season. Because he's been brought in as the all, you know, albeit his side did get relegated, but he was like the top assister in the Bundesliga last year.
Out of everyone.
I've got a stat here about that. Is that in each of the two seasons in the Bundesliga, Gross created more scoring chances, 95 and 98, than any other player, which is more than impressive, bearing in mind Ingolstadt suffered the ignominy of relegation in 2016.
The ignominy.
That's what it says.
Even the ignominy.
Yeah,
but,
welcome back, AD.
This is going to be absolutely key for us this season. We are going to have to grab ourselves a few goals this season, give ourselves a chance to stay up. We're up against much better, certainly for the top teams, really quick attacking players, very incisive. We're probably going to let a few more in than we're used to letting in, and sometimes we're just going to have to try and slug it out. And if the more, it stands to reason, but the more goals we score, the better chance we've got of staying up. But given that we don't have massive resources up front, as the squad stands at the moment, really, with Murray, Hamed and half a Baldock, getting the supply lines and getting the ball in, and the supply line is key for us this year, keeping the ball in the opposition box as much as possible. That's why I think Gross has just been... It's no coincidence he was the first guy that we signed. I think we knew that if we were going to bring another striker in, we're not getting him until like August 31st and whenever that is. That's going to be the last minute. So we have got a few games to get out of the way before then, and we need to get that supply line going. And you look at how we played last year, I think one of the criticisms of our midfield, with Kyle and Stevens, absolutely brilliant, but there was a gap between them and Murray and Hamed and Baldock at the front. Gross comes in, he fills that gap.
Marcus, does it bother you about the sort of the inherent lack of strikers at the moment, or are you confident that the club can actually fill that gap by the time August 31 comes around?
I would hope that they've filled the gap by the time the end of August comes around. Andy's right. We are light. We only have three strikers at the moment. I know that, you know.
You're Murphy forgetting about Izzy Brown.
Yeah, well, but he's more of a midfielder, isn't he?
No,
is he actually an out-and-out goal-scoring striker, which is what we
that's
need?
That's what he was when he was at West Brom. That's what Chelsea signed him as.
Because I thought Huddersfield played him in midfield. They
played him as a number 10.
Right, okay, fair enough. I know he tore us, he had a very good game against us, but...
well, let's face it, everybody had a good game against us that day,
but it does... Izzy Brown is not the answer, and he's young, and he's learning, and he'll be great to throw on, and I dare say he'll be much better than Chuba.
Well, okay,
but at the same time,
we're talking about Izzy Brown now, so, I mean, let's talk about him already. So, as you correctly said, it's someone we know a bit about. How will he be used, then, do you think?
Well, he was played in left midfield, I think, in the game against, I can't remember, one of the friendlies that we played, not Girona, the one before. So already they're sort of playing about.
Against Norwich, he was playing as a number 10.
Was he playing as a number 10 against Norwich? I know he was playing a right left wing against somebody before that. I'm sure he was. But anyway, Izzy Brown, he's a young player, and we need another. But they cost.
It's not going to be the answer. I mean, let's face it, we're not going to sign. It's going to be the player that we're after, the one that we're going to splash the cash on, probably isn't going to happen until after we pick the 25.
No, we were going to pay $8 million for Pritchard. So how much would we pay for a premium player now?
Well, we were going to be playing that for the Brazilian player.
The one who failed his
medical. Oh, Rene Renata. That's the one, yeah. He was saving all his knees for us. But
you've been saving that one up, haven't you?
Not at all.
Okay. I'm expecting us to go over $10 million for our final signing of the season. I think I just get the feeling it's going to be someone that nobody else wants, or they've already filled their squad up, and it's like, you know, but we're at the back of the queue. We know that. Izzy Brown, I agree with Marcus. I don't think he's the answer in terms of like an out-and-out striker. I think he's part of the answer in that supply line, that sort of mobile attacking mix where, you know, I don't think we're going to be doing 4-4-2 this season. It looks like it's going to be, you know, one featured striker with a whole range of other attacking midfield options, whether it's wide or central, sort of mixing in behind him. And I think we're looking to clog that midfield up and try and slow the opposition down as well.
All these portents of doom, I'd laugh myself silly if Brown was on a dozen goals by the end of October.
Well, if he is, brilliant.
I mean, that said, Izzy Brown is a very exciting player. He's very strong.
He's quick.
He's very strong. He's very quick. He's good. He's good with his feet, and he's good in the air. So he's a great utility player. We don't see him as this single-minded sort of
goal machine.
We see him as someone who adds to the sum of the parts.
And he was another one of the plethora of Chelsea players that signed new long-term contracts with Chelsea before being sent out on loan. So, I mean, it's obviously someone they can see as having a future with them. But, I mean, he was a bright young thing when he was at West Brom. He was very highly rated. He'd made his Premier League debut for West Brom, and they were looking at keeping him. And then Chelsea came in, as they do, and hoover up all this young talent.
I think
he's an exciting addition to the squad, and I think he's an upgrade on what we had before.
I mean, the squad doesn't really need wholesale tinkering. I mean, there is a lot of doom and gloom out there about oh my God, we're in the Premier League, we're going to get absolutely thrashed every week. I don't think we are, and there's a lot of players in our squad already who, after the last two seasons of how they performed in the Premier League, they deserve the chance to play in the Premier League because they are certainly good enough to play in the Premier League.
I absolutely agree with that. That's why I'm pointing my finger in the studio.
He is actually. But, I saw that in the background. I'm going to slightly challenge that one, I'm afraid. I'm going to say that deserve, just because they got us there, isn't necessarily going to be the answer. It could be that the club considers that XYZ player is good enough. I mean, when you think of when we got promoted, let's go back to 2003. We got promoted to the old Championship, to the second division, whatever it was called in those days. A lot of players who won the fourth division and third division deserve their chance, but they were clearly found wanting.
Yeah,
that's not to say that they can't cut the mustard, and they might actually be. I mean, the number of people that we've spoken to who watch the game on the Premier League on a much regular basis, more regular basis than we do, are of the opinion that Brighton ought to be okay. Yes, they need to add to their squad. Yes, they need to get a bit quicker. guess they need to be a bit sharper, but in the great scheme of things, we're not going to crash and burn and only finish with 6 points.
But, I mean, we're going to... we're not actually going... We'd put it, we're not going to the Premier League, we're going to the Premier League C. It's three divisions.
Well, that's another matter entirely. But the point is that the first thing that we're all looking at, all of us as fans, hopefully the club have got more ambition than this, but the first ambition we're looking at is not to be relegated.
Yeah.
It's not to embarrass ourselves as well. What I fear, and I hope it's not the case, and I'm sure Chris Hughton won't allow it to happen, is that when the players turn up, and like you say, they're mostly Championship players, some with some Premier League experience, and those people who are Premier League players, have been Premier League players, by the way, have an awful lot of responsibility foisted upon their shoulders. What I really fear is that those players will get stage fright, especially on the first day of the season. Oh my God, we're playing Man City. Let's hope we can keep it to six. I really hope that because every single game is going to be a living nightmare for us fans.
Well, if you look at Bournemouth side, everyone thought was relegation fodder when they went in there, they spent a lot of money on players, and they spent a lot of money this summer, which is absolutely ridiculous, actually. The fact they spent £20 million on Nathan Ake is something that really, really rankles with me.
But we haven't done that, though.
But if you look at the side that they've been putting out week in, week out, all of the money they paid... £15 million for Jordan Ibe. He's not played for them. Their team is the team that was playing for Bournemouth in League One and the Championship and won that Championship, and they're surviving in the Premier League.
Well, that is an example of it can work, and doesn't mean to say it is, and they deserve it. I mean, an awful lot of that team is gone now, so, you know.
You had your hand up.
I think one of the things that's bugged me a little bit about the off-season, when I have taken an interest in the discussions about where we're going with the Albion, obviously there's some frustration about the lack of signings. I think, first of all, the three first team players we have signed are all going to play. So that, for me, makes some good signings. But I do think we are forgetting how good some of our players are. Not all of them.
Yeah.
But not all of them. But some of these players are good.
Mm.
And the likes of certainly Dunk, Duffy, in central defence, Kyle Stevens, central midfield. I still rate Murray as a Premier League striker. I don't care what anybody else says.
And haven't even mentioned Anthony Knockhart.
I've not even got to Anthony Knockhart,
who Solly March, and then
last but by no means least, Solly March, who I think is going to really like this, really take the opportunity to make a career for himself.
And then you've got Alan's good friend, who he interviewed not long ago.
Who's that? I can't remember his name.
No. It begins with L, I think.
Les.
The thing is, what you've got is a whole load of ex-Premier League players who have that experience. I mean, you've got Liam, you've got Steve Sidwell, who aren't necessarily sort of guaranteed first teamers. Bruno has got the equivalent of playing in La Liga. Yeah. He's played 100 plus games in La Liga. There's obviously the equivalent of the Bundesliga. The chaps that have played there. I've probably forgotten about a couple of other players as well who have Murray, who, let's face it, went to Bournemouth, didn't play, not because he was a failure, because he wasn't wanted in the first place. The story behind him going to Bournemouth is another matter entirely.
And he scored the winner at Chelsea.
He still scored.
And this was an unwanted player.
He's not frightened of going into those grounds.
Absolutely.
He's not going to be intimidated.
No, it's not. It's not that. What worries me is that being able to do this week in, week out. I mean, not every team can do it week in, week out. It's about the level of consistency. I think there is enough quality in there for us to survive, provided we play at our best. It's when we don't play at our best that I really feel that's when we're going to get found out.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move it on and talk about another one of the new signings then, which is Marcus Suttner. He came through the ranks at Austria Vienna to make his professional debut in 2008 and quickly established himself as the first choice left back and enjoyed a 7-year spell. Austrian international, fantastic set pieces. We've already seen his delivery, particularly for Murray's goal at South End, which was
peach of a cross.
Amazing. What are your hopes for Marcus?
Well, to be honest, he's obviously sort of signed to put pressure on Bong, obviously, because they like two players in every position. That's why you have a squad of 25 in the Premier League, sort of one for each position, maybe more in some instances. But also, and Pocognoli obviously left us because he apparently wanted his kids in a French-speaking school. So that's why he's relocated to Belgium. It wasn't anything to do with not getting a contract. It was just he wanted to go back abroad. So that's why we've signed him, because otherwise we'd only have one recognised left back, and that would be Gaëtan Bong. I know Liam can play in that position, etc., etc., and you know, maybe another player.
Do you think the club wanted to keep Pocognoli? Would you have wanted the club to have kept him?
I would have said yes up until the Villa game, when it would have been a firm no. Because he was appalling.
He did have a mare that day. Absolutely appalling. But you can't judge a fellow on one game. I did expletive back
to West Brom.
Yeah. okay, well, that brings us neatly on to our next signing. And you talked about the Aston Villa game there, and it seems to be that his... his last act as a Brighton player was to let in that goal that cost us the championship eventually, which was David Stockdale.
I wouldn't say that. We were 7 points clear with 3 games ago. It's a collective effort of who lost that championship.
That's not what I'm saying. He was man of the match in that game.
Villa would have been out of sight that day.
The penalties he saved against Wednesday.
What I'm saying is his last act as a Brighton player.
Oh, I see what you mean.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
It's sodding typical for a goalkeeper.
Because he kept us in the game.
We'll talk about Matt Ryan in a minute, but were you surprised to see Stockdale go?
Yes, I was. I thought he would have, after last season when he was quite clearly gutted that we missed out by two, by two clear goals, I thought he was one who would have wanted a crack at the Prem. But obviously, Harry Moneybags has
I'm going to have to take a speculative punt here as to what's happened, because it seems to be an open secret, and I'm sure that someone from the club can actually come on and actually sort of blast our ears back and saying that the club was only going to offer him a year. I can only assume, I'm sure there might be another reason, that he's being told, you're welcome to stay here, but you're not going to be first choice keeper. We're going to get another fella in. Which, you know, to any goalkeeper, and let's face it, they have one opportunity, whereas at least the defender might have two or three opportunities to fill another role. He's thinking, no, I want to carry on playing. And there was no one in the Premier League to actually step up. Birmingham came by. There's an awful lot of supposition to that. But somewhere down the line, it came across that Brighton didn't want him as much as they did when we were in the Championship.
I mean, I heard something different.
Go on.
Well, I heard that we'd offered...
A year.
That we'd offered 2 years.
Right.
Because this is like supposition corner. Yeah. Guesswork alley, but I'd heard that he wanted more than a year, and then but I'd heard that we had offered him like 2 years, but maybe he just didn't. Maybe there was just something about the I think he's got a 3-year deal at Birmingham. Maybe, I mean, yeah, the guys...
They didn't have to pay a transfer fee.
He's
going to be on a lot more money at Birmingham than we would have been.
He's getting on a bit, he's got a contract to, basically secure his retirement.
But we were all talking about him. There was talk of him going to Chelsea and sitting on their bench at 50 grand a week.
Personally, I'm sad that he's not here next season. Yeah. And to be honest, I'm a little bit disappointed that they, something couldn't have been worked out. And I think part of that is on David. There was an opportunity for him to stay here, but he says he has to consider his family, whatever that means. That's his decision. Yeah. I mean, I'm not in that situation. He makes the best decision for himself. And all I'd like to say is good luck to him, because I thought he was a terrific keeper for us. Okay. And I'm really glad that, thankful for the work he did for
and
us.
And I don't buy into the whole thing that of the younger fans saying he was a turncoat and he can expletive off.
No way. That is just petty, pathetic stuff.
You look at his performances last year, like particularly those penalty saves.
He was terrific.
Just so crucial.
He won us more points than he lost.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was terrific. Okay,
well, he has gone, and the new number one is going to be Matthew Ryan.
It's not going to be Mianpar still.
It might be Mianpar.
But
you know what? I have absolutely no problem with that whatsoever.
No, I mean, literally, the number one is Mianpar, isn't it?
No,
it has been.
No, he is.
Stockdale was 13.
He's got the number one shirt in the
squad. Ryan has.
Still. Have they announced the squad numbers now?
Well, he has on the website.
Okay, all right. Okay, but I've got Matthew Ryan's wiki thing, and I've just I cast a glance at this before, but I've actually picked up on something else here. He was born, obviously, in Australia, but he was born in the place called Plumpton.
Right, and where is Plumpton? Near Brighton there, or is it near...
It's New South Wales, but it's okay. Plumpton. I do hope he's moved to Plumpton
Who knows?
It's just little things, it pleases me.
But the good news is the club moved quickly to sign another goalkeeper.
Absolutely.
Yeah. £5 million record signing as it stands at the moment.
Remind me, where we got him from? Spain,
Valencia. So, I mean, he played...
But wasn't he on loan in Belgium or something?
He's a bit shorter than Stockdale, and he wears baggier shirts, apparently. So look forward to that in goal.
Yeah, get him knocked over.
he's 184 centimetres, which is 6'5", apparently.
Oh, there you go. Yes, it is, yeah.
He looks shorter than that.
Okay.
He does, yeah.
But that's
the shirts he wears, because they're so big.
But that said, you know, Campo was short.
I don't recall Ben Roberts being that tall either.
And Iker Casillas was short. Was about that's the same size.
Bartes as well.
Ramon Quiroga, the Peruvian goalkeeper, used to play in midfield. Bartes. Sometimes he was 5'7".
Shay Given.
Yeah, I think it's all to do with athleticism at the end of the day.
So,
well.
I mean, and you wouldn't complain at any of those keepers. But
Brian Powell.
But I have to say, from the few highlights I've seen, I thought, he is a bit miniature.
Do you think he's going to need bulking out?
I'm having trouble believing that 6'5". That half inch has definitely been...
Yeah, that's his hairdo.
We wish him luck in his battle with Ryan Barnes to be the number one.
Yeah.
We brought in some players for the development squad, but we're not going to talk about those now. We'll come to those.
Can I just kick in here? When we're talking about sort of, you know, the looking at players in the future, I've got to rewind to something we did 6 years ago. On the first day that the stadium opened, and we had the breakfast show, which we'll talk about again in a minute, which we're going to do next week. When the stadium opened, we were so excited. We actually had a conversation about someone who we realised later was going to be in the development squad, Roland Burkamp.
I knew you was going to say Roland Burkamp. I thought you might have been talking about Torben Agdestein.
He played, though.
Did he?
Yeah, Toby played a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't remember him.
You were there when he missed a sitter at Wrexham, I think.
Oh,
blimey.
Yes. Oh, yes. Should have scored.
Yes. But we were talking about how excited we were about Roland Burkamp.
Oh, we were, weren't we?
Yeah.
So. And that fella from Real Madrid, whatever his name was.
What, recently?
Oh,
Jack Harper.
But I mean, all the other
people. So what I'm saying is it's so weird just to sort of like consider how a given player is going to be, and they might not actually turn up at all.
But other players, we've obviously already mentioned David Scott, Stockdale, we wish him well.
Absolutely.
I already know what the shirt of the week is, but I have got another tongue twister here. Elvis has gone to Gengelbergligli in Turkey.
Oh, they're great. I've got all their albums.
Yeah.
Great known for the concept album.
I don't know. But it just didn't work out for Elvis. I mean, it was a big money signing at the time for us, really. It was one and a half million.
He was a pun. Yeah, he was a
which
pun.
Is what,
he was
a I pun. Mean, this
back
is
in the days when that was a lot of money.
Another player that's gone and probably forgotten is Chris O'Grady. It never worked out for him.
Who's that? Yeah.
But Chris O'Grady is now going to be at Chesterfield, back in the north, permanent signing for them.
That's his neck of the woods, isn't it?
Yeah. And I had a lot of time for Chris O'Grady. I liked him.
Perfect cult hero.
Something begin with C, anyway.
Good pro, I mean, you know, cute and didn't have a bad word to say about him. He just wasn't good enough.
He's just a good workman, like job, you know.
Yeah.
Good luck also to Rob Hunt, who has gone to Oldham permanently, which I was quite surprised about, actually, because I thought we had big hopes for him.
He might come back one day for £20 million.
And also Christian Walton's gone on loan to Wigan. And Oliver Norwood, which I was quite surprised about.
But I'm glad he's gone.
Were you going to put him in the boot of your car?
I would have driven him anywhere he wanted to go. The next one who's just about there is Scalak. But I'm going to laugh myself so hard if Scalak
becomes player of the month in September.
Which he won't, but anyway.
But also, Chris Hewton has said that Kazenga, Rowan Ince and Richie Tao are likely to go out on loan. Now, Tao, I understand, but surely Kaz and Rowan are in the window. Surely we should be trying to sell them rather than loan them out.
Well, it depends if anyone's interested in them. I mean, you know, if they have a market value for them, I mean, there is also the point of, I don't know, if we're going to come crocked with a particular player, this 25-man squad, I assume that if a player's crocked, can someone come in to replace them as that?
I think there are. I don't know if AD's got the rules in front of him, but I think there are certain people that are excluded from the squad, i.e. like the under-23s.
Yeah,
and the
under,
yeah. So if
something happens, you can actually like draft people
they,
in.
They encourage you
from
to
outside of the official 25 band. So if a hole appears, yeah, you can plug it with one of these other guys.
Okay. And they actively encourage that,
but yeah, not a loan signing coming in or anything. Yeah. Okay, fine.
But someone like Solly March falls
outside.
So
I think some of these
development. Because he's a homegrown.
I think some of these development players are for that.
Okay.
So I mean, do you think anyone else is going to find themselves surplus to requirements?
That means spending time thinking about this, and I think that I almost say we're down to the bare bones. But as soon as we need to acquire, if the only way that I think that we're going to be offloading players, if we acquire someone in their place.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I'm not sure. I mean, we're not going to be offloading too many more strikers because we can't afford. We haven't got any left.
We haven't got any.
Yeah.
Got 2.5 at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, online, radioreverb.com, and, well, on our podcast, because it's only on the podcast this week.
Unless you're not listening on the radio this week, folks.
Unless you're listening on Monday, which you might be. So, hello. But we are, of course, brought to you in association with oldfootballshirts.com again for another season. Again, thank you very much for that, Phil Shirley. We really, really do appreciate it.
We love you, Phil. We
and
do.
I'm just going to pass this shirt across to the guys over here to describe for me.
Well, it's kind of, I don't know, amber.
Amber, Wolves colour, would you say?
Well,
Wolves
that's
gold? Old gold, is that
gold,
what they call it?
Do you think it's AD's bad printer, do you think?
It could be AD's bad printer, but it looks like it's old gold.
I think Andy's print. About to come in and torpedo us with the correct answer, isn't he?
Barnet.
Well, it's more of a Barnet gold, but it is.
I think it's highly appropriately for what's happened this week. We all know it's Newport County because he hasn't even photoshopped out the badge this week. So.
Okay, well, you're absolutely right, of course, Al, and this is what Phil has to say. He goes, "Here you go, then. Only one team could be used for shirt of the week this week. This is the home shirt of Newport County from 1989, the season that ended with them going out of business. Newport AFC was formed later in 1989, and they were forced to play their games in England by the FA to enable them to rejoin the English league system. This is how they got their nickname, the Exiles. After returning to South Wales in the mid-90s, they adopted the name Newport County AFC. After several years groundhopping, even more so than the Albion, they are currently ensconced in the 7,850 capacity Rodney Parade Stadium, which they share with Newport RFC, and also the Welsh Regional Represented Rugby Union team, the Dragons. Past concerns regarding the quality of their pitch should have been allayed after a recent relaying of the pitch using the Deso Grassmaster system, a similar hybrid turf that's used at the Amex.
Thanks for that, Phil.
past legendary players for the Ironsides, as they were formerly known before 1989, include John Aldridge and Ronnie Radford. Remember him?
Uh-huh.
Some lesser notables include Darren Peacock, Dean Holdsworth and Tony Pulis. Now, some may know this, but Ed Basford was also a supporter of Newport County from a time before he came to Sussex. Oddly, I too have a connection with Newport, and he and I watched a few county games over the years. Most notably the playoff final in 2013 when they beat Wrexham to gain promotion to the Football League. It was at this game that Ed told me that he was unwell, but he didn't want to make a fuss about it. That's typical Ed. Mm. I also remember a game the following season at Fratton Park when they beat the 2-0. Sorry, Phil, I can't read that word out. But it was most...
We're not on the radio. We don't have to be...
I think you should always bleep that word out.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway.
Or in life generally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, here's to Ed, a great man and a sadly missed friend.
God, yes.
So, I mean, we've just been to say, pay our last respects to Ed. Now, Ed, Al, you're in a better position to... tell us all about Ed, but he was important. He's an important member in the annals of Albion history. Isn't
Listen,
it?
we've sadly lost two members of the Family for All team, the vital Family for All team in the last 3 months. you know, we knew Roy, we knew Sarah, we knew Paul, but I knew Ed a lot better. I mean, of all those that have gone recently, this one is the one that hits hardest. I think not just for us who knew him, all four of us in the studio here, but plenty of people on North Stand Chat who knew him by sight, who were happy to shake his hand. I mean, there's in preparing for this show, and yes, we do make some preparation for this show, been thinking about what to say, and the point is that it's, if you really want to know what Ed was all about, just go to the thread on North Stand Chat. Everyone has said the same thing. We were talking about it at the funeral, after the funeral itself, with a few pints of Harvey's at the Ram Inn in full. Just saying every single story about Ed was the same. It was how what a gentleman he was, what a an intelligent person he was, what a kind person he was, what a diplomat he was. The only thing that's different is the individual person's setting of their given story about Ed. In the history of Brighton Hove Albion, he played his part, and he played a major part in the acquisition of the Falmouth Stadium, of the American Express Community Stadium. As we all know, his background was in planning and transport. He would offer his sage counsel, his diplomatic counsel to the board, to Dick, to Martin, to Derek, about certain issues that are required within local government. He was effectively the local government spokesman on board the Falmouth for All team. And that valuable expertise. It wasn't just that he brought on board. He brought on board so many aspects of hard work and care and consideration and fairness and justice. But that aspect, that part of his expertise was the sort of thing that he could specifically bring. It was always listened to. It was always considered. And as was said at the funeral today, always right. it's a hard one because it's not just a kind man. It's a good friend we've lost. Everyone pick your own memory and just remember it by that way, because you know, the any positive messages, that is the more positive you'll hear about Ed, the closer it was to him being him.
I mean, as well as being a valuable member of the Falmouth for All thing, he was also a moderator of North Stand Chat, and his views and the way he was able to calm down pretty much any argument in a very sage-like manner.
Including people who should know better. Yeah. I mean, some of the moderators themselves would actually go a bit loopy, and it's just, have you considered? Maybe you might want to consider this. And you know, it just take us down a notch.
But
without actually watering down his considerations and the things that he believed in life. He just always thought there's a better way of doing it.
But I mean, the comments from people who didn't even know him on NSC have been absolutely remarkable. Ed was just a larger-than-life character who always had a twinkle in his eye, and he always looked like he was about to say something really, really naughty.
Yes, I wouldn't say he was larger-than-life. Actually, I'd say quite the opposite. I'd say he's exceptionally humble and was more than happy for others. Not to take his credit, but it's not so. I think he did feel uncomfortable in the limelight. He was never one to actually want everything sort of gazed towards him. Yes,
unless he was wearing bells.
Fair enough.
I think Ed would be very happy up there looking down, chuckling that the Ram ran out of Harvey's.
Did it? I didn't notice.
It did. Andy got the last two pints of Harvey's and it ran out. And I think Ed would be quite pleased with that.
Uh-huh. Well, that Andy got them.
and it ran out of Harvey's, which I believe he liked that and red wine. And Newport County and Birmingham City.
Yes. I mean, there's so many facets of his life. And this is what Ros was saying when I spoke to her last night. She was saying, you know, because there was the local government aspect. There was the Morris dancing. There was the football, of course. There were so many various other bits and pieces that came in to make up Ed's life. That what she said was what Ed didn't want to have happen was for him to open up the casket, look around in the church and see just a sea of blue and white. He wanted to see all his friends there. I mean, it's the nature of how he approached life and how he approached death. We saw a tweet after he died from his account: "Please come to my funeral." I mean, it's a bit weird, and you think, is this appropriate? And you realise, no, of course it is. This is Ed. This is the nature of the guy he was. Any opportunity to freak us out, but in such a light-hearted way that, you know full well the joke's on you.
Yeah. And long-time listeners of this show will know that Ed's appeared on the Albion Roar several times. If you want to hear those again, they're available.
They're buried away in archives somewhere. I'll fish them out.
But it's always nice to hear from I mean, Andy, his viewpoints. He was sage. But let's move it on, because I mean, we'll always remember Ed and
We are going to miss him.
We hope there will be some.
I think that the worst part of it is when it comes to future matches, and what we do is we're all in West End Upper, is when we go down to West End Lower to catch up with a few drinks with some of our friends down there, and we're not going to see him again. The first time that happens, maybe the Man City game, maybe the West Brom game in September, who knows? The first time it happens, that's when you realise that the hole that he has left is just enormous.
Yeah. Well, I did hear that he was buried with his new season ticket. So
and with a Newport County shirt as well.
See. Terrible. Okay, well, let's move it on to. We're going to talk about the runners and riders in a minute, but just a brief word about the women's team and the new appointment of their manager. What an appointment, Hope Powell.
Yeah, it's a bit came out of nowhere, wasn't it? Very impressive, very ambitious. I hope that she can carry on the great work that she did for England. I mean, you know, the fact that England managed to get to the semi-final of the European Championship wasn't the first time it had been
and
done.
Choked.
She choked, but you know, she actually got the team to the final, but and really got stuffed. But that's another matter entirely. This is a person who knows women's football inside out, and the experience that she can, knowledge that she can bring, hopefully, can only do Brighton and Hove Albion women's team a load of a power of good.
Okay, well, let's move on to the runners and riders. We do this preview every year. Normally, we're looking at the top. I think we should just concentrate for now on the league that we're in, which is
the Premier League C.
Yeah, Premier League C. but I mean, good news, chaps. We are 1,500 to 1 to win the league.
Excellent. Weren't Leicester 1,500 to 1 to win the league when they did, or was it 5,000?
Well, then we're going to win the league.
Can I get my fiver on it?
Absolutely.
I think it was 1,500.
But we're also 8-13 to stay up. To put that in terms of those
to stay up or to go down.
To stay up. So
we're odds on to stay up.
So who? No, for those people who don't understand betting, you give the bookie £13. If we stay up, they'll give you 8 back
plus the stake. plus your stake. So it's
yeah, it's not great. I mean, Huddersfield are 6-5 to stay up. So
they're against to stay up, and we're actually odds on to stay up. Blimey, that's all right.
And also, Glenn Murray and Tamer Hemed are 150-1 to be top scorer. But there we go. But I mean, as we mentioned, we are.
I hate betting.
We are in a mini league for survival. So who else do you think is going to be in that mini league with us?
Palace.
You'd like to think Watford, Burnley, Huddersfield,
Swansea. What about your old lot?
They look like they might be slightly.
They've spent really
with Chicorita. They'll be top 10, aren't
they? They may be less rubbish than they were last year.
They were bedding in the new stadium.
We should have played them last year because we'd have beaten them twice.
Yeah. But if we'd have gone up the previous year, then we could at least beat Middlesbrough twice.
Yeah. Well, the names I've got written down here are Burnley, Huddersfield, Stoke, West Brom, Palace.
Stoke? No, Stoke
Swansea.
Will be okay.
No, Stoke are selling.
Stoke have lost, including one to the aforementioned.
All right.
They've got no strikers. Yeah. They sold them all.
Sounds familiar.
At the moment, they've got Peter Crouch, that's it.
All right.
Oh, dear.
Watford, Swansea, but also Newcastle. No one's talking about Newcastle.
They haven't done a great deal, have they? And
actually, no, they haven't. They've been very quiet in the window.
I mean, if you think we're panicking about. We haven't spent any.
At least we don't have that same sense of self-entitlement.
I mean, we only have like £100 million to spend, whereas Newcastle got like several hundred million because they've still got all the other money left. They're not spending. It just shows for the teams at the bottom, it's just for teams at the bottom to get the players you want, it's just much, much harder because you can't go in and totally overpay. We'll end up overpaying for somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but we can't overpay to the extent that we don't. Yeah. Have to care about it.
I think Andy's hit the nail on the head previously in our chats in the pub and stuff. We just need to make sure we're not as bad as three other teams in this division.
There's a lot of drops. I mean, you look at the other teams in there, and okay, I mean, if you in terms of the transfer window, you've got to look at it like if going to the supermarket. So whereas you've got the Chelsea's and the Man United's, they're going to Fortnum and Mason or Harrods. We're in the happy shopper at the moment. We're in the corner shop.
We're not quite that bad, but
in Premier League terms, here we are.
Well, I'd like to say we're at least Lidl.
Yeah. You get some decent bargains in there.
Yeah, you could go there for a packet of sausages and end up with a canoe.
Andy won't be buying sausages unless they were vegan.
If you go to Happy Shopper, you're guaranteed to buy rubbish. At least at Aldi, you can buy some decent stuff fairly cheaply.
Yeah,
so that's a better one.
That is the actual shop we are, the Aldi.
We are Aldi.
We are.
So we are, actually, because we bought a German, we bought an Austrian, and they are German brands.
Yes, exactly. There you go. We are little. Little by little.
But, I mean, in terms of that, I mean, there's ridiculous. I mean, we've got a. I mean, it's not a Brighton story or a Premier League story, but we've got to talk. Briefly touch on the complete and utter madness that has broken football this week with the Neymar transfer. How can any player be worth more than a country's budget?
Well, they're not. I mean, that's just how much it cost to buy him out of that deal. They've got the money. For me, the sooner like that little elite group of like 8 to 10 clubs at the top
of Europe
just form their own league and their own and then we can just get on with actual proper football.
Yeah.
Then I'll be happy.
Yeah, I agree.
I do remember a couple of seasons ago when Chelsea beat Paris Saint Germain in it must have been the Champions League, and Chelsea fans were coming away absolutely delighted because they were appalled that Paris Saint Germain we beat a checkbook team. Yeah.
Says it all. To... But it's just a rich man's plaything.
Going back to what you were saying, you know, in our little mini league, we've got a puncher's chance. There's no reason why you look. You know, you 35 points would have kept you up last season. It's not a lot. Teams that lost 21 games stayed up last year.
Bournemouth, we forgot Bournemouth.
A Bournemouth in your pecking order?
I haven't actually got them written down, they've bought well.
Bournemouth score enough goals already. They've added a few more. I think people like Steve Cook and stuff like that, the defenders, are better. They'll be better this year than they were last year.
And they've bought a decent goalkeeper as well.
Yeah, so I think they will... Yeah, I would have been looking at them, but I think they've improved their squad.
I mentioned this earlier, but 20 million quid for Nathan Ake is the world going mad for a player that's
But yes, you know, going mad.
But picking up Jermaine Defoe on a free ridiculous wages, but they've just got themselves 15 goals.
And they've got themselves a foothold in the league already.
Yeah, they've given themselves... he's a great professional.
Oh, he's going to get them. Yeah,
he's a great professional. He can score from anywhere. They've bought themselves 15 goals already, so that's a great signing for them.
Okay, well, that moves us on to our season's predictions, ladies and gentlemen. We do this every year. We come back and review this at the end of the season.
Did we review the predictions from last season? Did we work out how badly or well everyone did?
I think Marcus came out on top.
Did I?
Yeah.
We've got some of the same answers.
Yeah. Marcus, I think your wild card last year was something about Lewis Dunk not getting sent off or something.
And he did. Five games to go. I said he wouldn't get sent off all season, and he got sent off once, and it was about 8 games to go.
And he did it on purpose to get suspended for the cup game.
No, that
was a double booking. But he did get sent off, but, you know, hey ho. It went down from his 8 the season before or whatever he had. So
he went the last 11 games without getting booked, didn't he? Or last 13 or something like that. Sure. We're all convinced he was actually going to miss out on the running, and he behaved himself and actually played pretty well. Yeah, you can do it, Lewis.
But Adam Verger, we're going to have Verg's predictions next week. Adam couldn't quite.
He's useless, aren't they, usually?
Well, he was going to make it. He was going to be in the show today, but he forgot that his flight was at 9 o'clock at night, not 9 o'clock in the morning.
Don't.
So let me guess, he's late again.
Bang on again.
Yep. But hopefully he'll be in to see us next week. We'll more about that shortly. Actually, we'll do that now. Next week, myself and Alan will not be live at 12 o'clock on Radio Reverb.
We'll be live at 8 o'clock, so you can either stay in your duvet and listen to us, or you can have us over your fried egg and bacon, or just running out of the house of the woman you pulled the night before. You can listen to us from 8 till 10. Oh, we could have been the bloke you pulled. Let's not sort of, you know, go down that road. Live from the open market. So if you fancy just running away from the woman you pulled and coming down to the open market for your eggs and bacon, come and listen to us and find us and say hello.
We're going to ruin your breakfast.
We are. Consider it ruined. ruined already.
Well, no, we've got a great list of guests to come in next week, including a few ex-pros, some Raw favourites, and
you and me,
and some newbies as well. So tune in next Saturday, Radio Reverb 97.2 FM.
Yes,
radio online at radioreverb.com, etc. Look, of course, the pod will be up afterwards. And like, what else is
happening? Pity the poor people in the Americas that listen to us, because we do have some listeners in America. They'll be about 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's all right. They'll be going to bed and getting ready for the big kickoff.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Predictions. Come
predictions.
On.
Okay. We're going to start with number one, which is, who do you think will be the player of the season
at the Albion?
At the Albion. I'll go first. Gross.
I'll go second. Gross.
What does that say?
Pascal. Gross.
Well, I'm going to go for Lewis Dunk, because it's about time he won it.
Yeah,
two,
yeah,
I think he'll step up. So I'm going to say Lewis Dunk.
Okay. Or there's also a case of not signed yet, possibly. But
probably the answer to all of them.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Pascal Grace. I mean, I was looking at. I found this website.
No one's saying Knockhart. Sorry.
No, he's won it already.
But I was looking at this this website. It's all about building your fantasy team. And a lot of people, they're recommending you put Pascal Gross in your team because of the sheer number of assists that he has.
I think he's just going to be more visible on the pitch. I think his contributions are, well, you know.
It's him and Dale who's going to start against Man City. There's no question. Unless there's an injury to one of them.
Well, it depends on what we're going to play. If we're playing a 4-5-1, then I would very much expect Murray to be the one up top and Gross to be playing just behind.
Yeah, maybe.
If Pascal Gross is our player of the season, I'm pretty sure we'll be staying up.
Yeah.
Because the reason he'll be playing the season is because he would just been setting goals up and chipping in with the odd one.
Of course, the other thing about him having a record of setting goals up is it depends on who he's setting them up for. And if he's been playing in teams that's got decent strikers.
Well, he hasn't, has he?
That's why they went down. Yeah, therein lies the thing that
he was setting them up for nobody.
Thing that I worry about. Three grosses and a dunk, which sounds like a porn movie, frankly. But
but okay, number two, top goal scorer,
Murray.
Yeah, Glenn.
Gross.
Ooh,
interesting.
Not signed yet.
I knew you were going to do that.
Chicken.
Yeah, it's a chicken's answer.
But if you want, I was. Possibly going to go, if it's not that, I'm actually going to say Knockhart.
Okay, that's a reasonable shout.
Go on then.
Okay, number three was this is a question that was actually born out of something that Andy did as a wild card a few years ago. Which was how many, and you actually, I still don't know how you managed to get it absolutely spot on, but
what was that number of goals scored?
How many goals will we score
in the league?
In the league.
Yes, my prediction will be slightly lower than that correct one.
What was the correct one? It was 70. No.
It was like 85.
Yeah. And at which point Adam Virgo turned around and said.
No, I think you said more than 70 in the first. It was the season before last. You said more than 70, and Virgo snorted.
Yeah,
and
fell off his chair.
Snorted with derision.
Wrong he was.
Basically covered AD with flying snot.
My answer to this question is considerably less than 70.
Go on.
I've been umming and ahhing, and I'm going to go for 50.
Go on then.
Ooh.
I was hovering around the 47, 46 mark, and I'm thinking, why not be a bit of a homer?
Then we think, we played Palace twice, so we can get...
I've chucked another couple.
45. Mine's 45. Yeah. I'm not far... I was similar lines.
Well, I was going to go 48, so...
All right, we're all in the same...
Go on then. Let me guess. Hasn't signed yet.
No. I was looking into this, and I've been looking at. I looked at the Premier League.
We're just guessing, AD.
I looked at the Premier League, the bottom half, and how many goals were being scored by the teams in the bottom half, and it looks. I mean, last year Sunderland only scored 28 goals.
That's why they went down.
I know, yes.
But what about the team that finished?
I've got 45 written down here.
There we go.
All right, so
we're all along the same line. Yeah. We're all virtually in agreement.
We've all looked at the last year's league table as well. Yeah. I was basically mine on that.
I think this one we've already answered, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Who of the new signings will have the biggest impact?
Not signed yet.
That Gross, obviously.
Yeah, I've gone for Gross on that.
Alan. Not signed yet?
It's got to be not signed yet because, midfielders, we actually have plenty of people who've got, you know, can easily rack up the assists, and March and Knockout are perfectly capable of doing that as well. There should have been more from midfield, but does that mean that Gross making all these assists is going to make a big impact?
Well, he scores goals as well, and he's already done. He started.
Well, therein lies pre-season. The point. Yeah,
he's capable.
But Dale Stevens did that once upon a time, and then he stopped.
The thing about Gross is he does a lot of his work from the centre of midfield, and we've got wide covered.
Yeah.
So where does he differ from Dale Stevens then, in your opinion?
He complements him. He's 15 yards further up the pitch.
Yeah, he's in that bit, whereas Stevens...
So he's ahead of Kai Allen, the reckoning.
Oh, absolutely.
He's simply further up the pitch. He's linking this. So he could play Kai Allen Stevens and put Gross in front if you wanted to really mess around with the... You go like, you know... 4-5-1-1 or whatever, I don't know. But
you're not allowed 4-5-1-1. That's called cheating.
just while I've got him here, I'm just going to play catch up with Phil Shelley here because I've got his predictions from our esteemed sponsor. He's gone player of the season, Knockout. Top goal scorer, new striker.
Right.
number goal scorer, he says 44.
Okay.
Yeah. Who are the new signs? We'll have the biggest debate. You say new striker.
Right.
And yours, 80?
I've got Pascal Gross.
Okay, fair enough.
Is that it for the questions?
No, there's two more.
Oh, two more.
No.
Okay,
but yeah, I've got a sneaky suspicion though that the more I think about it, I think Izzy Brown could be it.
He could.
Well, let's hope so.
He could upset the old prediction apple cart.
Okay, number five we've got here. And of course, we're going to put all of these questions up on our Facebook page. Please give us your predictions, and we'll do those on the show next week.
Mm-hmm.
But surprise package of the season, Andy.
Okay, this is the question I had most difficulty with, and I have gone for a bit of a not signed yet type cop-out answer. My surprise package is the entire team. I think that they will make less of a meal of staying up than people expect. I think we will stay up. I'm putting my blue tinted spectacles on and thinking that Brighton and Hove Albion will be the surprise package. I'm looking at the players that we have on. And I don't think there's anything those guys could really do to surprise me. I think.
Oh dear!
Oh dear!
I'm just not sure how we can review that answer in 9 months' time.
I was going to say the point is, if you correctly predict it, it's not a surprise.
Yeah,
okay. It's an answer that defeats a question that defeats itself.
I mean, the expectation is that we are going to be, in the the bottom three stroke four pretty much the whole time. I think we'll probably be in the bottom six the whole time. But we might be nearer the sixth bottom than... I just think we're going to do better than...
We are running out of time, Marcus.
Right, Baldock, because I think he's going to prove very useful in the Premier League because his movement and his twisty-turny way he assisted at Villa for the penalty was brilliant, the way he lost the defender. He's going to do well.
When you say surprise, you mean good surprise?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a shame. Everybody going to meet Baldock. Brilliant.
Okay, because when you say surprise, I was going to say Matt Ryan, who's going to let in a shedload. But I would say that the big surprise will be... I think it will be Dale Stevens will actually properly show what he can do. I mean, he has been already, but I think that, no one's expecting him to make up the step up to be someone who would shine on Match of the Day week in, week out. I think this is a perfect opportunity. Okay. I think he's going to be the man who's going to shine for me.
I've written a few things down here. I mean, the main one, I agree with Phil on this, but I was actually going to say, and you're going to love this answer, Marcus, I was going to say Ollie Norwood, because I think that...
that is a surprise. Big old player for the season for us.
He's obviously not going to be...
Chris doesn't even rate him, so...
But I mean, I think, bearing in mind, we're going to be playing 4-5-1, someone... Who can spot a pass would have been...
The Hollywood balls that he does, where he can't even control it, you mean, and gives him the opposite possession.
But I've got a feeling that...
hate your fence sitting, Mark, because it really is awful.
But I've got a feeling that the real Baron Kyle's going to turn up.
Hope so.
And that's what Phil said as well, that Baron Kyle will be... Because he wasn't putting up any trees last year, partly because of the injury and trying to get back to form that he showed when he got the player of the season the year before. he's always looking to play forward. And I think if he gets a starting role, he will keep it, and he will be a very, very important player. And I think people are talking about Dale Stevens, of course. They're talking about Gross. Baron Kiel has very much been forgotten in all of this. And don't forget, he was a very important player.
I think that's a prime example of people forgetting how good some of our existing players are.
I still think Sidwell's ahead of Kyle personally, but
yeah, I would agree.
Yeah,
at the moment. But anyway,
I think Sidwell will be on the bench, and
I'm sure he will be. Right. But then so will Kyle.
Okay.
Well, I think if you're going to talk about midfield, sort of, if we're going to have a midfield three, then yes, it might well be. It's going to be between Kyle and Sidwell for the third spot, which is the other two.
Going to move it on. Marcus. How many red cards?
Five.
Four.
Three. Two. Al.
Oh, hang on. You said 32.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Red cards, I would say none.
Ooh.
Now, that would be in the surprise.
That would be a surprise package.
I've also got four. Phil has got five. And finally...
I'm going to get torpedoed on the first day, aren't I?
Yeah. And finally, your wild cards. Now, these ones, if you haven't heard these ones before, these are the ones that you could... You could say anything, and quite often they turn out to be true. So, and Andy is the past master of this. So,
I think we will have two candidates for goal of the month on match of the day this season.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm liking the
that's a wild card,
yeah. Marcus.
I think we will lose both games to Palace, but still stay up.
I think there will be at least one game in the season where we score four.
Okay, I've got two here. One of which is stating the bleeding obvious, which is we will be involved in a controversial incident involving Mike Dean.
Well, I was about to say wild card usually means the wild card is very, very different from nailed on.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the nailed on certainty.
Yeah, I mean
the other one I've got here is Aaron Connolly will make his first team debut.
Who's Aaron?
He's the young Irish fellow who's tearing up the under-23s at the moment. He's fantastic.
Oh, okay.
And finally, we're going to end on a happy note with Phil's wild card, which is Houghton will leave either during or at the end of the season.
Oh, sweetie.
Fair enough. That is a wild card.
Can I change one? I reckon Phil will leave first.
He'll leave 1901, probably. Yeah. But okay, but that is it. Don't forget, we are going to be back for the breakfast show next Saturday. That's from 8 o'clock in the morning until 10. Obviously, it's the opening day of the season. Everyone's going to be really excited. We've got a stellar list of characters coming in.
And you and me.
And you and me. And we'll be there, bleary-eyed, hoping someone's going to buy us a bacon sandwich. Hint, hint. But in the meantime, of course, thank you to Marcus Hancock, to Andy Bass, to Alan Wears. I'm A.D. Packham. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll see you again next week. Thanks a lot. Cheers. Bye.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life.